Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we continue our verse-by-verse study of the book of Revelation in the King James Bible. In this study, we park at Revelation chapter 17, verses 7 and 8, and we look at the mystery of the beast. We will unveil the mystery of the son of perdition with truths that most professing Christians are unprepared to accept and understand. And, God's Word is true.
Verses, but it's titled The Mystery of the Beast. Revelation 17, verses 7 and 8, The Mystery of the Beast. And we're going to read verses 7 and 8. If you're not there like me, go ahead and turn there. Revelation chapter 17. All right, verses 7 and 8. Read that with me. And the angel said, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wander, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now, these are the kind of passages that cause a lot of people to just kind of put the book of Revelation down and walk away slowly. Because you look at what you just read, it does look pretty wild, don't it?
Amen. It's wild.
But the thing is, most of what you read is discussed in other parts of the Bible. Amen. Some of it's right here in the book of Revelation. So using Scripture with Scripture, you can see what is being said. And it'll actually, sometimes we're going to see, it's going to tell you that. It's going to say, hey, look, this is what we're talking about. This is what we mean.
Yeah.
And this text that we just read, especially verse 8, is the main text that seems to clearly point to Judas Iscariot as the
Amen.
Beast.
Amen.
Tracy mentioned that during prayer time as she started to give my message. And now, first time I heard that, I thought, this is crazy. This, you know, man, it gets real interesting. And credit, I believe, goes to a fellow named A.W. Pink for being the first to lay out a solid case for this. He may not have been the very first. I haven't been able to research beyond that, but the first I can find laying out a solid case was A.W. Pink. And so you just want to give credit where it's due, but I also want to warn you, A.W. Pink gets very wild. And he went back and forth from amillennial to premillennial, and he also was very Calvinistic. So be careful if you read his stuff, but if you get his stuff on the beast and the Antichrist, it might be worth reading. Now, you see, the beast is carrying the woman. Now, we've talked at length about this woman. And I believe that if, as presented in a court of law, beyond a reasonable shadow of a doubt, you can see that this is the Roman Catholic Church.
Amen.
And speaking to a Roman Catholic gentleman earlier this evening, and I was telling Thomas, you know, it's great whenever you're talking to a Roman Catholic, whether they're saved or not, and they bring these things up. And this fellow that's not a Christian, as far as I know, he's not even saved, was raised Roman Catholic. And one of the first things he brought up was the fact that there were all these millions of people that the Catholic Church has killed. And I said, well, it just happens to be that we are studying the book of Revelation in our Wednesday night studies, and that's what we've been pointing out. I've got to turn my thing off here. It keeps beeping at me. And it's clear to anyone who's honest. Anybody who would just be honest can see these things. But the problem you got with a lot of people is they have closed eyes. They don't want to see the truth. And, you know, it's how I was raised. It's my family. All my family are Catholic. I was, you know, I went to Catholic school, all that. Hey, this isn't about you and your family. This is about the Catholic Church. We're not making it about the people. Who said that? The system. And, you know, that's true of anything. You may have an employer that is good for nothing. I don't mean I'm saying you're good for nothing. But if you work for Apple Incorporated, your boss is a fag. And he's a vile, sick sodomite who hates Jesus Christ and hates Christians. And he is calling on a boycott in Indiana while opening up a store in Saudi Arabia where they behead homos and Christians. Who can be that evil? Someone who's full of the devil, like the CEO of Apple.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, does anybody here work for Apple? Don't take that personal. I'm not saying you're evil. You work for an evil man. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, don't amen me. I don't care. It's true. What I just told you is true. If you go to a church that is evil, if you're a member of the Presbyterian Church USA, your church is satanic. Amen?
Yes.
Why am I saying that? They are ordaining homosexuals and now have said they are going to perform gay marriages. Presbyterian Church USA is the Presbyterian Church United Sodomites of America. USA. How do you like that one, Mark? He's the king of these. USA, USA, United Sodomites of America.
United Methodist, too.
United Methodist is another one. I know some very wonderful, good Christian Methodists, but they go to a satanic, apostate denominational church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't want the truth, what are you doing here? Amen?
Amen?
If you don't want the truth, why do you open that book?
Amen.
Folks, it's time to throw the gloves off. Let's hit it. This is what is true. This is what is said. Let's hit it. And that Vatican is wicked. The Pope is evil. He is sending a billion souls to hell, and the man will not stand up in front of the 1 billion Catholics in this world and preach the gospel.
Yes, sir.
Wicked. Now, Catholic people, I believe they're saved Catholics. I'll get in trouble for saying that with my people. They don't think there's anything. I think there's a lot of people who do stupid things even though they're saved.
Amen.
And that includes staying in an apostate church. It's stupid. Get out. Come out from her. Come out from among her, my people.
Amen.
Is the commandment for the Catholics and the Presbyterian Church USA and the United Methodists. Hey, I don't know. You know, I keep hearing people say Baptists are. Listen, the Baptists are getting just as bad.
Yeah.
The American Baptist Convention is the home of Jesse Jackson.
Yep.
It's chock full of sodomites. So just because some church has Baptists over the door, you better watch out. Well, that is what's going on here is you have the Vatican, the woman, the whore, and it says the beast carries her. Now, what's that mean? Well, first of all, I want to step back before I get into that. It says that John marveled. And when I mentioned Judas Iscariot, it didn't click the first few times I read through this, but think about it. If you were John, the Beloved, and then you saw the beast, and God revealed to you that it was Judas, wouldn't that make you marvel?
Yeah.
Could it be that in recognizing one of his former apostolic brethren as the beast that he wondered? I think that's an important point, but this is just a little bit of powdered sugar on the cake here. We're going to see the ingredients in just a minute, but that's just something I thought about. But this woman is the Vatican cult, and the cult rides on the back of the final pope who carries her to world dominion.
Yep.
The final pope. But the pope, every pope is Antichrist. You understand that?
Yes.
Every pope is called Holy Father, which is blasphemy. Every pope is referred to as the Vicar of Christ, which means he claims to be Jesus on earth.
Yep.
Every pope is an Antichrist. John said there would be many, but then there's coming one.
Yep.
And that'll be the last one. And we've studied, that's actually the title of this message. It's tens of thousands of people watched it, and a lot of evangelicals have come back and tried to refute it and everything, but they didn't. But then, a lot of them come in and say, "Wow, I wish my preacher would preach that."
Yeah.
Yes, I wish your preachers would too.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, this woman riding the beast—it's true to an extent even today. Just as Judas was a false apostle, we're going to see in a minute—he was called a devil by Jesus. 2,000 years ago, he appears to now be, in this text, a false pastor, the Pope's called a pastor, who will assume power by means of the Vatican State in the last days. Now, we've gone through this and talked about it, just a real quick rundown. The Vatican State, one possibility is they join the European Union. Then as head of state, he will have his turn as president of the European Union. And it would just work out that when he becomes president of the European Union, he's the head of the revived Roman Empire.
Yes.
Right there, bam!
Wow.
Yeah. Right there. Yeah. People said, how's the Antichrist going to assume power of a revived Roman Empire? When the Vatican State is head of the European Union and the Pope is the head of the European Union, you've got it right there.
Boom.
Done. Amen. Now, also, I think it's going to play into this. You got a rapture, possibly the Gog Magog War, all kinds of other things. Everybody thinks the aliens have taken everybody, and then the Pope is up there saying, everyone, please be calm. Father is here. Holy Father, save us. Oh. It's already happened. If you look in history, there have been times when chaos worldwide breaks out. Everybody looks to the Pope. They don't look to the President of the United States of America. They didn't look during the World War II. They looked for head leadership from the Vatican and they didn't get it. It's because he didn't know who to hedge his bets with, and he played both sides. So that if either side won, he'd end up, in the good. But in this war, he's going to be the head of state. Now, look at verse 8 there, in the first part of verse 8. It says, "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition." Think of that word perdition.
Yeah.
Son of perdition.
Yeah.
We'll come back to that in a minute. But Judas Iscariot was. Now turn your Bible over to John chapter 6. Turn in your Bible. If you're a Bible believer here tonight, I want you in your Bible.
Amen.
John chapter 6. It's Catholics and cults who go to church and don't open their Bibles. Amen?
Yeah.
Bible believers, you want your Bible open. I want you to bring your Bible and I want you to mark these things. You need these things marked in your Bible. And if you need a Bible, I think we still... Did we give away the rest of the Bibles? We need to order some more. We got some Scofield Reference Bibles. They're very good Bibles to use. And we get them pretty cheap. But in John chapter 6 and verse 70, read that with me. "Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil?" I mean, first of all, you talk about making Calvinism look stupid. They say that the chosen are the elect. Whoa, wait a minute. He just chose a devil. So one out of 12 Calvinists is a devil. I mean, if you want to stick to it, stick to it. So there he was. Judas was, and he was a devil. Now, when you think of the Antichrist, who do you think of? The devil. And he was a devil the first time he came.
Amen.
All right, let's look at Acts chapter 1. I love that sound. You know how people buy CDs with ocean sounds? I want to make a CD with the sound of Bible pages flipping. 6 hours of Bible pages flipping for your peace and serenity. Acts chapter 1, verse 15 is where we're going to start. We're going to read a few verses here. Acts chapter 1. I'm going to lift this up so I can see it a little better. Beginning of verse 15. Now, just don't read out loud. Follow along here for a second. "And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, The number of names together went about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning who?
Judas.
Which was guide to them that took Jesus. Verse 17, for he was numbered with us, one of the 12, and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, inasmuch as that field is called, in their proper tongue, Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. Now, verse 20, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. And it's just interesting because the bishop of Rome, bishop of Rome, Judas. You see how they all just think, kind of keeps meeting, keeps coming together. Verse 21, wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Now watch this. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas, by transgression, fell, watch this, that he might go to his own place.
Yep. His own place. Yep. Amen.
Everybody else died, either was gathered to their fathers or went to hell.
Yep.
And Christians go immediately in the presence of the Lord. There's one dude in the Bible who went to his own place.
Yeah.
And they gave forth their lots, etc. So you got Judas, who went to his own place. It doesn't say he went to hell. It doesn't say he went to heaven. He didn't go to paradise. He didn't go to Hades. He go into the play in the Greek games. He went to his own place. Not said about anybody else. Now, that is where he is not. Going back to our text. He was and is not. Now look at Revelation 11:7, and I'll tell you where I believe he went to and where he's going to ascend from. Revelation 11. And let's just look at verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. There ain't anybody in the bottomless pit right now except for one. And that's his own place.
Yep.
Judas went to his own place. He's the only one in there. The bottomless pit. And he's going to ascend out of that bottomless pit. And he will possess the body of the final pope. And he will make war on the saints. Now, that's not the church. It's the saints. The saints are the believers in the tribulation period. Tribulation saints. But he'll make war against them, and unlike the church, which will never, the gates of hell will never prevail over the church, but these saints in the tribulation, he will prevail. So that's, to me, that's quite the case. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Now, I mentioned A.W. Pink, but I also want to mention this because I had heard some of this before, and I read some of Arthur or A.W. Pink's materials, and then other things I'd seen in Scripture. But there's a book by Peter Ruckman, The Mark of the Beast. I actually saw him deliver this in a message down in Cincinnati, Harrison, Ohio. Does a great job of putting it all together.
Amen.
So that's just the book that if you can get your hands on. I don't know if I'm pretty sure they still sell it at the bookstore down there. So back to Revelation 17. I told you when we were reading that, look at that last phrase in verse 8. Go into perdition. He says, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. That's why the Antichrist is called the son of perdition. That's his home. If you are Charles of Worthington, why do they call you that? Because Worthington is your home. What's the guy? William of Orange. How many other examples you heard of that? There's someone's name and they're said to be of somewhere. That's their home. Well, he's the son of perdition. That is his home. That is his nature. Son of perdition. And let's see, John 17:12. If you dare read it with me. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition.
That the scripture might be fulfilled.
Amen. Who's he talking about?
Judas
is the only of the 12 that he lost. He's the son of perdition.
Amen.
Okay, well, the Antichrist is called the son of perdition. Look at 2 Thessalonians. Turn over there. 2 Thessalonians. I hope you're making note of this. If you don't, you are going to regret it. I'm going to tell you, the first time I read through a bunch of scriptures on this and I didn't list them and make notes, I could have kicked myself. And while you turn there, I'll give you the context. In verse 1 it says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now read verse 3 with me. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. There's only one man called the son of perdition, and that's Judas.
Amen.
And you can it may be a little too much for you to swallow. You may not be able to handle it right now, but I believe if you're going to take the Bible at face value, that's what it is. What it is.
Amen.
Now, I don't like the word that some people have used about this, saying Judas is reincarnated. That's not reincarnation. Is a totally different animal. There's similarities to the idea that Judas lived, died, and is being brought back, but that's as far as it goes. Reincarnation involves a whole different meaning. So I would urge you not to refer to Judas being reincarnated, but he is being brought back. And he is going to be allowed to fill the body of the Antichrist, and he will possess the Antichrist. So now, finishing in Revelation 17, verse 8, it says, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, now watch this, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. There are going to be all these people who are not saved, who are going to take the mark, and they are going to wonder because they think He is God, and He's defeated. He is not God, and He will be defeated. And Jesus Christ is going to be the one to defeat Him. And here's the reality. All those good people rejecting Jesus now, they will worship and adore. This is Spanish. and adore Judas Iscariot as their Lord. And I put a small L and small S in purpose. Lord and Savior, and they'll be eternally lost.
Amen. That's right.
That good neighbor you got, that good relative you got, that good friend you may have, if they're not saved, I believe if they've heard the gospel, we've talked about this before, and we'll talk about it again, but I'll just leave it at this. I believe if you hear the gospel, you understand it, and you reject it, left behind books are wrong.
Yeah.
You will not be saved.
That's right.
Amen.
The Bible talks about those who loved not the truth, and they were handed over to strong delusion. And I believe that's an example of the people we talked about earlier in Proverbs 1. That's why I tell people, now is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Aren't you glad to be saved?
Amen.
I study this and read it. These studies should make you overflow with appreciation for Jesus and what He's done for you and me.
Amen.
Yes.
We are saved. I want to close by reading one more text. And I promise, that's not a typo. I'm going to close. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Beginning in verse 54. It says, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Read verse 55. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Keep reading. "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Keep at it. Keep at it. Keep going. Keep doing what God has called you to do. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep handing out the gospel tracts. Keep praying for the lost. Keep on keeping on. And even those times where you may feel a little worn out, you may feel a little tired, maybe you do need a nap. Maybe you just need to get a little more sleep. Maybe you need to eat a little better. Maybe you eat a little more healthy foods. But over and above that, learn to encourage yourself in the Lord.
Amen.
As David did. We are living in times where we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord.
Amen.
To be able to get alone with God, get alone with this book, be alone in prayer, and just let His Spirit revive you. And this text is just one of my turn to all the time. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. If any man believe in Him, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Folks, we have got it. We have got it made. Jesus is awesome. Jesus was crucified, buried, and He rose from the dead by His own power. And He's got that kind of power, and He's going to turn around and He's going to raise your body one day. And we are going to live for eternity with Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this study. Fascinating truths. Also sobering truths. We just want the truth. Sometimes it even seems ugly. But we want the truth. And we're so thankful for the way, the truth, and the life in Jesus. We thank You for eternal salvation. And even if we were all alone, Lord, that we might be able to encourage ourselves in the Lord. But I am so thankful for these people.